PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me and smiling as always is the little rat himself, Jose Miraflor from Cobra Golf. Jose, welcome back.
What's up, buddy? It's good to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I was just thinking that. It's been a minute since I saw you. I assume everything's good.
Everything's great. Excited for another new year. Getting ready for the show. It's a whirlwind. My Q1 is always one of the busiest parts of the year, and I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, it's a good thing though, right? Because every time I have this discussion with you, it's like the culmination of all that you've worked for over the last year. Finally, you get to tell the story and stop saying, "Ah, oh, I can't tell you," or "Ah, oh, I don't know." Finally, it's like, I will tell you, and you're gonna love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
I've had plenty of time to practice the gig, right? And practice the presentation. Now I finally get to give it.
Well, we're talking about Optum, I think, is the obvious reality here. There's some other stuff going on, but I feel like Optum really needs to be at the forefront of the discussion today. It's definitely a different look. I've noticed a little bit of a trend with you guys that you're not afraid to mix the name up and showcase what you're focused on. Being that you moved from Speed to Adapt and now Optum, it's an incredibly curious thing. And it's a willingness to not be afraid to say, hey, this is our big focus, but don't forget, we're still good at those other things. So,
right.
Really fun to explore that. Now, I had the absolute privilege of seeing a little bit of this earlier on, and hearing the pieces of the story get put together is one of my favorite parts, because it's like, you know, that it looks like a driver, it probably sounds like a driver, but what makes it, you know, special? And this is my favorite part of the year as well, because I get to hear the stories from you guys of, you know, what really sets you apart from others and what really got your attention while you're producing. So, you know, long story short, or at least give you an opportunity to kick it off by saying, I would love to know your perspective on how things wrapped up with DS Adapt. I mean, it was an enormous storyline. And where did the last year sort of take you with that?
You know, DS Adapt was a big changeover year for us, right? To come out with a whole new fitting system, right? As your major discussion, it's funny. I just saw an ad from another company saying that it's their longest, most fittable drivers. I'm like, geez, did they copy us verbatim, or did they happen to use our marketing company? But yes, I mean, we were telling people it was our longest, most fittable drivers we've ever made, putting a flag into the ground and talking about custom fitting and unveiling Future Fit 33 with the most fitting settings in golf, and allow you to go 2 degrees up, 2 degrees down, 2 degrees flatter, 2 degrees more upright. I mean, and independently is pretty darn cool. It really put us on to a new level. Our custom fitting grew at most places by plus 20 up to 50%. Our custom business in here has been growing tremendously, and we've been able to keep up with, in most cases, you know, 2 days out the door shipping to the end user, which we're really proud of, to be able to have that type of speed and service for people. But yeah, it's been a great year. The drivers performed really well. You know, our tour staff has been very happy with the products that are out there. And I can't tell you how excited they are about the new stuff. So we can move on to that if you want, but
I suppose you could tell me now, or you could tell everyone now, other than just saying, Hey, wait for this. And here's what makes me mad about you. It's not just that you know it, it's that you smile when you say it. I'll never forget sitting in a room with you. We had some of the great minds of Cobra hanging out with us, and you go, "Hey, I'm about to give you this presentation about this year, but wait until next year." I'm like, "Dude, I don't even know about this year. Like, can I get excited now?" You just seem to get real joy out of that.
I have to like remember what year product I'm speaking to, because I had to think for a second when you asked me how Adapt. I'm like, what was Adapt? Oh yeah, Adapt is 25, Optum 26. And 27, I was telling you before we got on air, and I'm happy to tease everybody who's watching today. I'm actually showing some first parts of that to some people internationally, our product people around the world here at the PGA Show next week. So, you know, it's exciting times, and we're starting 28 already as a actual project tracking form that I have to put out 2 years before it comes out. So yeah, we're ahead, and that's our job, right? We're supposed to be 3-4 years ahead on technologies. We start projects 2 years out before they launch, right? After we've solidified the technology that's going in it. So very exciting stuff. And the reason I smile is because I know the future looks good, and I know it just pisses you off that I can't tell you exactly what it is.
Well, you could. I won't tell anyone, especially yeah, right now. No one's listening. It's fine.
Yeah, nobody's listening right now at all.
Is there a time of year where you really get to sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor? Is there a moment where it isn't like go, 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 next, next, next?
Well, it's always go, 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 next, next, next. However, you know, I travel a lot Q1 and I travel a lot Q4 because once we have a sales meeting, I go out and start telling you guys, the media, about the products, presenting to you guys so you guys can develop your stories, your stuff around it. But in between there, you know, April, I would say, through July, I get to, you know, work here at HQ and do more stuff around what's the future, what's going on. But I also get to really follow how everybody is doing with it. How are the retailers selling it? How are Morgan Cuppers, you know, reviewing it when they get to review it? Normally they get to review the stuff that we've been working on forever, right? And then watch the tour players and see how they're doing with it. That's a good time for me.
Yeah, tour is always a really interesting component. And then adding on to that, the way that the regular public reacts to not only tour feedback, but their own experience with it. And that was the one thing that really set DS Adapt apart for me. I remember just absolutely championing F9 as like the greatest thing ever. And that was a weird time for me because I was like so hyper focused on it. It was like whoever will listen needs to listen and go hit it. And for me, it was like the perfect solution. And then you see a couple of years where you create like a lot of different variety there, especially leaning off that and then starting to incorporate other elements into it. And it was a lot of fun to take that track. Last year felt a little bit different. When people hit DS Adapt, they almost shouted as loud as I used to, which I think is the most telling thing. Like if you get someone to hit your product and then just yell about it, I would assume that's the best way to, you know, make more money and sell more units, but also to validate all that hard work that goes behind it. So did you get a lot of that feedback last year that those who did try DS Adapt were just really surprised by it?
Yeah, first, to be honest, I mean, people were scared of it, right? I mean, 33 settings. Oh my gosh, I can't hit that many settings. A couple
of YouTubers were scared of it, that's for sure.
Yeah. and if a lot of people were, until, you know, the vocal minority, the people that did try it, started talking out loud saying, guys, you're not hitting 33 settings. Are you kidding me? You're going to hit 2 to 3. It's so easy to use. It works so well. I've never hit so confidently. When those people started saying it, then more and more people started listening. So it had a groundswell, if you will. And it's to the point now where I'm visiting people this last Q4 talking about Optum. And they would always start with, man, I got to tell you, your fitting system has been the best system that I used in 25. I use it to help my other fits figure out where they're off and where I could help them. So I think, you know, in itself, just hearing that made me really happy, right? And made our engineers happy to hear that too.
I love it. And it certainly validates the reason to make the natural next step, bring in a new name, talk about Optum. And it's like, okay, what in the world is Optum? And why is it unique from last year? But you also get the benefits of last year pushing into this year where Future Fit still exists. Like it's going to be the adapter. You have these technologies that exist in the head, but you've now added this new component to it. And I think that's what everyone's here for. So I'm going to finally let you unravel it a little bit and talk about what makes Optum unique.
Optimus, we spend probably 2, 3 years working on something before we even really start putting into a project. These innovation guys are so smart. They're always working on different things, things that I don't even know about, right? We had just had an innovation meeting downstairs before I came up, and we talk about how we got to give them the freedom to, for lack of a better word, have Spelunky just break stuff, do things that none of us are even thinking about. And when they come up with something cool, then they really bring it to the table. But one of the great exchanges we have with the innovation team is they're always asking us, product line management, architecture people, fitters, what's going on out there? What should we know about? And one of the things we saw in a survey that we sent out there a few years ago about what would get a golfer to get up off the couch and go try their next driver, we asked them what are the performance parameters that mattered the most. And of course, you and I both know that distance is going to be number one. And mentioned by more than 75% of all respondents. Number three was forgiveness, right? And 10K drivers over the last couple years, 3 years, 2, 3 years have been super strong. In fact, our Max K was our number one selling model in 2025 because we won so many awards and challenges with it. But one thing we noticed was the number two attribute of performance that golfers were looking for is accuracy. You never heard that in the past, right? Fairways is you can argue, is that consistency or is that accuracy? Which one is that, right? We use 10K drivers to hit more fairways because we're making your shots more consistent, right? You're losing less distance, you're losing less directional control, or less directional, what would you say, loss of control when you hit it off center. It's a whole different thing when you say accuracy. Accuracy means that when you and I aim at a target down the fairway, more often than not, the ball ends up there, right? Whether it's a perfect hit or just slightly off center. And normally, Dan, I would say you as a really good golfer, it's a skill set that's developed over time and being in this game. But does it always have to be that way? Could we actually design a golf club that makes amateur golfers not as accomplished golfers? Does that mean if you're not a single digit, you can't have accuracy? Or if you're not a plus two, you can't be uber accurate? No, we took that down and said, we think we can, right? And that's when our engineers have been able to unlock a new term. It's been around forever. You can look it up. It's not a made-up term because everybody tries to make up a cool name for something that you put out as a technology. They asked me to make up a name, and I kind of put my foot down. I said, listen, moment of inertia is not a made-up name. It's an engineering term that somebody can look up and understand that it's the resistance to twisting that an object has when you hit it off center, right? And so product of inertia, I didn't want to change it. A lot of arguing in here about that, but I wanted to put product of inertia out there because, like moment of inertia, it's a real engineering term that you could look up and it can be better explained to you than maybe I can. But really, product of inertia is the study of multiple axes twisting at the same time. So while a lot of people talk about, a driver, when you hit it on the toe is going to open. If you hit it above, there's going to be some dynamic lofting. Or, people are, I'm explaining to people now is those are happening all at the same time. In fact, there's another inertia that people don't know about. It's called MOIZ, where that goes toe down or toe up as the ball is impacted off center. All three of these axes are always spoken about independently. They actually happen all at the same time. And product of inertia is the terminology of understanding or managing 3D twisting. And if you can reduce the product of inertia of an object, you're going to have a ball, in this case on a golf ball, start on target more often. It's going to have less gear effect. So it's going to have veer off target less. So that's why I wanted to keep it, so people could look it up. And if you don't get my quick explanation, you can go look it up. Man, there's a paper, it's massive, about what productive inertia is. And it's in all objects, right? Engineers have been measuring productive inertia on the side, just like MOIY and MOIX and MOIZ. All these are part of the equations when you're designing a product. It's just, do you pay attention to it and do you know how to use it? And that's what our engineers, the Brainiacs downstairs, have been able to do, is been able to understand it more and be able to design our next generation of drivers such that we not only give you more stability, we're going to give you more accuracy. And of course, we have to deliver more total distance as the result. Otherwise, people just won't get off the couch. So that's what we're bringing to the table, everyone. If you want it, the Cobra driver, that's super long, super forgiving, and now accurate, that's what we're bringing to the market this year.
All right, Hose, thanks for being here. We'll chat with you later. No. Could you imagine? You know, as you're describing the way the face changes, a lot of times it makes me think about how people describe the way that golf ball spins. People don't realize it. Side spin doesn't literally mean that it's going around in a circle. It means it's rotating in that direction, but also incorporating the backspin. Like, it's definitely moving in a combination way where we sort of go ignorant because we are just goofballs on a golf course. We don't have to have that sort of clarity there.
Say one ball shot that everybody has experienced, right? Everybody has experienced a slightly high toe shot, right? And when you hit high toe, what happens? What is that ball flight, everyone? The ball goes out, it turns left, it flies low, it comes out of the sky, and it rolls into the rough, into a bunker, into trees, wherever. It's not a pretty shot, right? But what governs, what caused that, right? And when you hit a toe, well, the toe is opening, the toe is going to droop, and the loft's going to go up. So that's a massive movement, which tilts the spin axis of that golf ball such that there's not enough backspin to keep it in the air. It's the gear effect is happening. So it's tilting the spin, making it go right to left. And because there's no spin, no spin like normal to the ground, the ball falls out of the sky and is going sideways. It's not a pretty shot. It's one of my misses. I've been accused of making golf clubs that serve my game first and foremost. Could be true, but we're helping everybody by doing this. Even if you had a 10K driver, 10K drivers still have that happen. What we're trying to do is have it happen a lot less, right? And make the downrange dispersion just get tighter. And if you can do that, that means you can now start to aim on the left side of the fairway or on the right side of the fairway. The stuff that you would do, Dan, the stuff that our better players on THP would do, if you see a ball tucked to the right side of the green, you want to hit down the left side of the drive of the fairway so that you can open up that angle and not have to negotiate over bunkers or anything like that. Same thing if it was on the left side, tucked behind a bunker on the left, you want to try and drive your ball down the right side so you can open up the angle at that hole location. And really, how you get that is, if your dispersion is tighter, you can start to fit it in halves of your driveway versus if your dispersion is so tight, does it really matter where you aim, because you're going to be missing it more than you're going to be hitting your target. That's what we're trying to do. Just reduce your dispersion.
It's an interesting thing. So when you talk about POI, is that point of contact or is that like throughout the swing?
But POI is the result, like moment of inertia, everybody says, is the moment at the moment of impact. No, it's talking about moment arms, right? And productive inertia is talking about the same thing in that it just talks about what happens to the object when it collides with a golf ball off center. How much will it twist? How much will the loft increase? How much will the toe drop? How much will the face open? All at one time. So productive inertia is a result of an off-center hit and how much twisting happens because of that location, right? So, and if you can reduce that, you're better off.
So I got a little bit wrapped up in some of your commentary that you shared with James, who wrote the article for the homepage, and please go read that because it's loaded with stuff. Do you ever read things backwards? I always start at the bottom and go up. Like, if things, things I don't understand. Yeah, I start at the bottom and go up because I get too wrapped up in a story. And then when I'm done, I read it all again. So this one, I'm like reading these quotes and I get to this comment that says, and this is Jose Miraflor talking, who's the VP of Product Architecture and Consumer Connections. Huge deal. He says, POI fine tunes forgiveness into directional consistency as it allows the club head to rotate more naturally with your swing. And so immediately I thought, well, you know, it's helping me at like P4, P5, P6, like these positions of my swing. I like instantly went there. And I'm really glad it's not that, but I'm also curious because you guys have told the arrow story a lot over the last decade. And I think that's a really critical component to it. So for me, it feels like you're just chipping away at the things that are problematic in a golf swing, whether that's the different ways we analyze how much that face is impacting through the air. Now we're talking about a point of contact and location of contact as sort of being in concert with one another. It just seems like you're checking all the boxes off year over year.
Right. Yes. All of the above. Because how do you make something better? You solve the problems that are apparent that need solving, right? Of course, we want to just hit it further, but we have govern, right? We have CT govern, and we've done the CT mapping across the face and delivered more CT because of our hot face design. Okay, what's next? Well, you can't really take advantage of CT unless the platform you have doesn't twist and reduce ball speed. Well, let's make higher MOI. Okay, now you got high MOI and you have high ball speed. Well, what's next? Well, you're still not hitting it perfectly where you're aligned. And if accuracy is something people want, as what the survey said, then what can you do that? So I'd love from you, Dan, just keep telling me what people are suffering from, and we'll continue to innovate around how to make it better for golfers. Because if we can fix what they say they want, that just leads to more sales and more confidence around Cobra Golf, right? But I want to go backwards for a second. You said something. You quoted me from something I said.
Yeah.
And you're actually correct. And I didn't want to go there, but you just forced my hand.
Okay.
So an object that does have low POI, like a ball, for example, is more predictable as you swing it around your body as how it will apply itself to impact. Meaning, does it, you remember how some drivers you buy that no matter what you do, you just seem to time it well. It just matches your swing and the ball goes straight all the time. It's perfectly matched. Something internally, something about it is done well that matches your swing, right? We've all experienced this. There's something about POI too that I don't get into, but you know, Yagley always spoke to this. POI in one sense also can speak to how it can transition during your swing back to impact, right? And it's hard because this is not a perfectly simple shape. Simple shapes can do that, but like a circle or a perfect box or a perfect rectangle will repeat itself through the swing, different swings more often than not. And there's a little bit of that in POI. We didn't do a lot of research there yet because that would require us to get on gears and really watch what the head's doing. So that could be next generation. You might have just unlocked the next cheat code, but but there is something there. You're the type of guy that wants to get to the money shot first and then go backwards. I get it. You're a crazy man. You do things very differently. Wow. But I appreciate you. Like you just stimulated a thought for me and made me have to say something I wasn't ready to talk about. So nicely done there, kid.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, next year with JOI coming out and QOI and whatever it is. One of the things that I know has changed a fair bit with the head is, and James really broke this down well in his article, talking about the sort of spherical concept that exists around POI. It's an imperfect shape that a driver head operates under that would super optimize this, but you found ways to isolate certain regions to get closer to that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's very accurate. Said very eloquently, by the way. Good job to you and to James for saying it.
Mostly,
you know, when you're trying to distribute mass around a golf club, a hollow object, you want to keep in mind that you're trying to develop a CG in a location, and then how do you distribute carbon fiber weighting, titanium weighting, tungsten, steel, and aluminum weighting around that center of gravity, such that you have an object that delivers itself consistently and when hit off center has reduced twisting. That's pretty cool stuff, right? It's smart guy stuff. That's not me. I take all that and make it easy.
Sure.
Club hit ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the other challenge there is, as you refine these heads, you also have four unique heads in the lineup. And this is where I get really curious. You're forced to live in these particular worlds that have like a low spin option with a lot of workability and performance versus a more supportive spin model that is wildly forgiving, the expectation of like misses being the least amount of punishing. But you all have to get that into this same umbrella of logic, same technologies that exist. So four models in the lineup, how do you close that POI gap between the four?
Well, you have to realize who primarily is going to benefit and how they benefit. POI, in a simple way of saying it, benefits probably the best players of the world the most. Why? Because they hit it closer to the center more of the time. They have a repetitive swing more often than not. So and when you're designing an LS driver, for example, the smallest shape of the bunch, by the way, this year, 460 cc's, right? It's a lot bigger than 445. So we were able to increase the size of it, which is going to raise the MOI. The battle that the engineer has is, as an object's MOI goes up, inherently it's harder to reduce or keep the POI low. They work opposites of each other. It's like being married. You can be happy or right, but hardly ever at the same time, right? If you find that, you're married the perfect person. So if you are, and I'm, the single guys are like, what's he talking about? All the married guys are laughing right now. But yeah, I mean, you as you create a higher runner driver like the Max K, that POI is going to be higher than an LS. So the LS inherently made for the best players in the world is going to be the most accurate out of all of them for a given golfer, right? The X this year, by the way, has showed the most shots gained up with a whole bunch at 1.63 shots per round gained compared to all the other drivers, compared to its Adapt predecessor, which was the baseline, right? And that makes me say, well, X could be our best-selling model this year. Why? Because we have far less people gaming an LS, because you need to have high spin. You need to have some speed to take advantage of the way this golf club is set up. It's the least forgiving of them too. So you need to be pretty accurate where the golf balls hit across the face to really not hurt yourself, right? Well, the X, which is the standard model, right, in the lineup, is a 460 cc shape. It's shaped like an F9 for all of you people out there that love the F9, like you, Dan, right? But this model here showed so much improvement in MOI and reduced POI in both the front and back position. I gotta tell you, if you guys are trying a driver this year, try the base model for sure. I see, in my opinion, like the mix, when 50% of our sales were Max K last year, I think we might be in a camp of, I hate to say it, but 40 and K, 40 and X, and maybe these other two are only 10% of the mix. I'd hate to see that, because then I have to ask myself, do I need to carry some of these models? But of course, we're always going to have an LS because of tour players.
And the internet. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And the internet tour players. And then the Max D is super important for us because it's the one that's not about accuracy. Because you're asking me, who is POI really benefit the most? Well, I would say LS, X, the K showed a half a strokes gain per round versus the predecessor. The D, we didn't even worry about POI. The D was all about moving that any discretionary weight towards the hosel, towards the bottom heel area, to help those golfers square up the face, more, which means straighter ball flight, which also means lower spin, which also means more distance, right? I'm happy to say that our D driver is a medium spin driver. It's not a super high spin driver. That just kills people with slice, right? The more spins, the more slices. So because the CG is so forward, the D driver actually spins less than the K driver, which is people who think D drivers are short. Everybody, D drivers are not short. In many cases, it is tied with X with how low a spin it can be for that given person, right? But and yet it has more tilted lie angle to tilt your spin axis to eliminate slice. So there's so many benefits about designing for the different golfers, POI, MOI, discretionary weight. That's all something that we're paying attention to.
There's a number that I've been desperate to talk about this whole time, and it really messed with my head. And here's what I love about some of these conversations. You're not comparing it to competitors. You actually compared it to your own product. And I think each year there is a level of satisfaction that comes with completing a product and you're very, very happy with the performance of it. 23% more accurate than your previous model. Which head is that about?
Ah, great. You're one of the few people asked the right question. Good job, Dan. So 23%, what our legal thing is, I'll say it out loud to cover myself legally. Optum's drivers equipped with POI and other innovations will give you your longest drives and can decrease or improve your shot dispersion by up to 23%. We're seeing more than that. The stuff I showed J-Man and the rest of the group, we saw huge gains in dispersion from ourselves. I mean, imagine my team of consumer connections people, all ex-college players. You got our brand guys. You know Luke, you know Andy, strong golfers.
And a club champion, Mr. Roger Teed himself. Yeah.
Yeah, club champion. I mean, Roger's a plus golfer, right? Well, what we did is we actually went out and did a test. We tested 3D printed irons first. We'll talk about that a different day. Then we had our gamer drivers out there, and we get fit. I mean, we own custom fitting. So if we're not challenging our fitters to find us another 5 yards at least every other month, what are we doing, right? Mm-hmm. That's the benefit of being in the business is we walk downstairs, get on the quad and try out different shafts, try out new weight locations and try and do things. So, you know, these guys are fit, ultimately fit. A couple of them still play very competitively. And what we did is we went on the range, hit our gamers after we did that iron test, took those numbers down, and then we hit all four of the new drivers. And to see the improvements that we saw, we had one guy gain moving from an LS to an X 13 yards. Who gains 13 yards if you're already fit really well, mm-hmm. right? Roger, we talked about Roger. He was a plus 1.2 at the time. Now he's a plus 2 point something. We haven't been able to pry the new X driver out of his hands, right? He gained 9 yards, but his dispersion went from this to that. Wow. Right. And with the fade bias that he loves. I mean, Caitlin, right? 110 pounds, 5'3", went from a her max K driver dispersion to this to the dispersion is so tight. When people see it, they're like, is there a golf course this person can't play at? Because it's just so tight. To see those numbers against our own selves that are fit and play golf 2 days a week, you know, and constantly see our numbers is impressive. When you start to see people go get fit who play a driver that maybe not as good as an adapt, or maybe hasn't been fit, or maybe hasn't bought a new driver in 3 to 4 years. Imagine the stuff that you can see. I'm super excited for people out there to try our products this year and see if there is an improvement in dispersion downrange. But to answer your question, the X was the biggest benefactor of POI and raised MOI. 1.6 shots gained for better players. I remember our test panels plus 4 to 5 handicaps. We saw a plus 1.6 shots gained in the front position, a little over 1 shot per round gained in the back position. that's pretty strong numbers. LS was already a super pretty low POI driver. We made it even lower. You saw 0.34 shots gain per round over four rounds. If you're a competitive golfer, there's some money there for you. Cuts made, things like that, right? And even the K driver, being the most forgiving driver we ever made, we were not going to sacrifice MOI, but we were able to reduce POI just a little, enough to measure, you know, a 0.5 shots gained on that test versus the predecessor driver. And one thing I will say is this test I keep referring to, the one that's shots gained version, we call that the no scrubs test, which means you're in a hit bay, you got to warm up completely, right? So that means at least 25 shots. Now you're really warm. And now you're going to hit 20 drives per driver, and you're not allowed to push delete. That means really? No matter where you missed it, it's in play. And you're not just hitting one driver first, and now you're even more warm, you're hitting the next driver. No, you're hitting five shots with each driver, and you're rotating them so that you can get a real feel for how warm you are and how good they are. So it's really fun stuff. But yeah, good question. That refers to the X.
So X is that driver that everyone needs today. If you were going to encourage someone to go hit one of the new drivers, would it start with X and move out from there?
They asked me this year, what's the hero they should use, and all the imagery, all the videos and everything like that. And I quickly said, X is our driver this year.
I mean, blue
is not far behind, but X is the driver.
Blue is the best color. And you've segmented them beautifully where there's, unless I'm missing something, they look fairly similar at a dress from a colorway standpoint. Is that true? Or there's some
identical, right? Gloss crown. Yeah, it's a nice gloss crown.
Mm-hmm.
With this satin face alignment system. That's new too, right? Adapt, if you remember, has the inlay crown where you can actually see the seam. Well, this is an all bonded driver, so it's blended, but we wanted to give that face angle line, if you will, to the tour players who really love that. And they love this new look. This is this way because we brought it to them and they liked it. And that satin frost line here transitions to the face really well. So guys like Gary and Ricky, who love to be able to see some face loft to give some confidence that they don't have to lift or do anything, they get that transition there. So that's another reason why you see the design the way it is this year.
I love it. Just subtle differences, like a little bit of red, a little bit of gray. I already see people on THP picking their favorites out of the color line, regardless of the performance.
I remember the color behind Optum is kind of like your shaft colorings. The black behind Optum here is low flight. Blue stands for medium. And then the red behind the Optum Max is high ball flight, right? And then if you look at Max K, it's the silver because it is the neutral driver that anybody can play, if you will.
Interesting. You mentioned tour, and I would be remiss if I didn't ask, how has it been received, and how long have these guys been talking about it? They're looking for these certain things.
I'll quote Ben Showman. He is our director of tour operations, right? He's the guy whose job is to get everybody in the new product lines. Over the years, he's been phenomenal. Ben's complimented for his service by all the tour players on our staff and even people not on our staff, right? Ben said to me on a phone call, and he said it to other people too, this year's lineup is the best top to bottom lineup we've ever had in his career with Cobra Golf, even since the 2000s before Puma came along and purchased it. He's never had this many players clamoring to get it in play, get it in their hands, whether they're staffers and even non-staffers, you just want to try it and see what it's about because they're hearing from it. So, I mean, got Ricky, for example, one of the biggest problems Ricky has right now is he can't decide which head. He keeps trying them all, loves them all. They all perform really well. So he likes the deep face, great sound of the LS, right? He loves the F9 shape of, and F9's his favorite driver of all time, right? The F9 address profile of the X, right? And then he tried the Max, which, by the way, Gary is playing, the Max K. Gary has gaming that thing, loves it. And then Max Homa loves just the way the X is. It's perfect for him. So, and we have other players that are on tour, Gary Willett. There's a whole bunch of other people that are out there that are trying the drivers and just easily getting into them, whether you're on DP World Tour, Korn Ferry, or PGA Tour.
So I think I'm doing everything I can not to make this about me, but what's your guess for me, LS or X?
Well, is your driver a low spin driver today? Do you still need to keep your spin down?
I would say low-ish to low mid.
Okay. I'd say X forward position in the right shaft. I'm not looking forward to playing you this year. Last year I gave you a drumming. Let's put it in the right way.
Still owe me $5, buddy.
That's change. I owe you $5 in change. Let's put it in the right way.
Hey, I really like the pure poison thing. Is that going to grow a little bit?
What pure poison?
So it's a pure poison.
Oh yeah.
I saw it on the fairways, yeah. Which we really haven't touched on. I assume the fairways have a lot of similar logic built into them, with the exception of you've incorporated titanium into this, you've incorporated the Max into this. It seems like a really in-depth lineup straight across the board. Is there something that people need to know about the fairways this year?
Yeah, don't sleep on them, everyone. I was called by another reviewer and he said, hey, you're going to hear me say something that you might not like because I'm not just clamoring about your drivers. But he said, I honestly think you might have the fairways of the year this year.
Oh,
because of POI in the fairways. Our testing in the fairways also shows huge gains, 10% more fairways hit, but even more important, because some of us, unlike you, Dan, may need a fairway to hit a par 5 and 2 or a super long par 4 and 2. Greens hit with these fairways are incredible, right? So don't sleep on fairways. Hey, and by the way, if you're a 7 or 9 wood guys, the X and the Max come in 7s and 9s now. The X is very impressive. I moved off a 4 hybrid this year only because we offered the 7, which we had a 7 last year, but I tried a 7 wood Optum. I didn't know I can hit the ball that high, that straight, that far with the fairway wood. I fell in love instantly. And again, this is one of those things. We were downstairs just, you know, goofing around and working on the boss's driver, right? And somebody said, well, what are you doing with your 4 hybrid this year? I said, man, I already hit the 5 in the Optum. Can't wait to hit the 4. They're like, try this. And they put together a 7 wood option. I hit it and I was like, is that for real? They're like, come on, boss. Let's get into the times. Everything is 7 woods and 9 woods now. So I tried it out and it's been in place since that day. In fact, I stole the fitting shaft off the wall. it still has the button on it that says, you know, Denali red, blah, 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 stiff flex or 6.0.
Man.
But it's great.
So
it's great. I hope you guys try the fairways.
In terms of design application, is it fairly easy once you've solved for POI in total, once you get the right calculations on driver? Is it easy to marry that up with fairway woods and hybrids? Can you get a fairly simplified approach to it, or is it pretty difficult?
It's difficult in that there's so many different ways to get low POI, because there's a, like I said, it was a combination of axes. So imagine there's a POI X and Y, X and Z, and Y and Z. So there's actually 3 different POIs you need to work on, multiple axes working at the same time. So where you place the weight in the head changes the formula for that, but also changes the formula in another way. Hmm. So you're trying to work on 3 different things, because it's the addition of all 3 of those, being the summation being lower, is what gets you that performance. So the engineers are sitting there trying to work on it. And then thank God we have this little cool thing that one of the smart engineers came up with. This called Shot Sim. It actually takes the MOI, the POI, and all the things about the product line and can actually give you a simulation of what the downrange dispersion is going to look like. Pretty damn cool, huh? Boom. But he, that's how they're able to look at that downstairs and be able to give us a predictor of what it's going to be. And anytime you change something on a product, right, your numbers change. Even when you move your weights, your movable weights, your total POI changes. And that's why we're showing people where the most accurate setting is on these drivers, where the heaviest weight can be for the most accurate setting. So now, so if I move this heavy weight to the toe, it's still pretty decent POI, but it's not quite as low as if in the heel. But that's first order is your ball flight flying straight on a centered hit? And it may be more important to have this weight in the toe to negate face closure, right? And give you a little more timing of face closure. And that might be more important, and your POI will still be good. So there's still an order of importance of how you fit the driver and where the weights go. But as an overall design package, we've reduced the POI in all of the products.
I mean, it looks awesome. And also shout out to the mini that just went live, which we haven't even talked about. Buddy, we could talk for a week, I think, with all this great stuff you guys are coming out with.
I love chatting with you. So if you want to get back on the horn a little bit later after my next meeting, I'm happy to get on and talk mini driver. That's a really cool discussion too.
No one's going to object to that. Certainly not me. The other thing I'll say is I noticed the colorway for the women's is actually awesome this year. My wife plays with pretty much a full bag of LTDX, and I might finally convince her she needs new clubs with this stunning color you guys went with. I really like that.
Yeah, the Earl Grey / mint green. It was a color that we actually wanted to put on the men's. And there was one person that really outranks me at this company. He said, I just don't see it. And Doug and I, head of design, we were like so bummed. We're like, that'd be so cool. But yeah, that Earl Grey color, it's not feminine. It's just a cool colorway. I think your wife would love it. In fact, a lot of dudes may love it, right?
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
If you're a dude and you want this cool colorway at 12 degree on both the Max K and in the Max D, you can make that in a men's length with any shaft you want. It's the same exact head, everyone. It's just a cosmetic colorway. But if only if you play the 12 degrees, because the 10 and a halves don't come in that and nines don't come in that
hey,
colorway.
Tell us one last secret before we wrap today. We always get excited for limited release stuff. Last year was no slouch. Most years are not slouches when it comes to you. Can people start to get excited that Optum is going to have a couple different profiles by the end of the year?
Yes. And for me, I'm really excited about there. I mean, I can't even tell you how many there are. There are a few of them. And I could tell you that two of them, I'm having trouble deciding which one I'm going to game. Because there are two of them, and by the way, I play this X, and I just love this whole look. But there are two themed ones that I can't decide. Maybe I play the first one till the next one comes out, and I don't know. Maybe it matches my clothes. I don't know. I'm excited about them, and I think you guys, when you see them, will understand why.
Awesome. Hey, Optum looks incredible, my friend. I can't wait to hit them for myself. It's one of those things you just get really excited. And with Future Fit and all the things you're incorporating in, it's hard to not be super eager to hit a Cobra Club right now. Not to mention that all this 3D printed stuff, like we have to talk more. But thank you for taking the time today.
Thanks to you and to everybody out there for tuning in. I can't wait to be on the show next. So let me know, Dan.
Awesome. Hey, if you are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Talk a little smack the way me and Hose do when we play golf together. And you know what? If you are playing, just have a great time, because I can't play this weekend. I'm going to be cold. Either way, we'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, Don Brown from Project X, back here with another Shaft University. This week's question is about EI profiles, how to read them, and what do they mean? And one specific question we got was, they all kind of look the same. And that might be true. There's a lot of nuance you'd have to look at and very small changes to understand that. That all changes this week with the launch of our new Titan shaft. So if we look here, you can see this is a traditional EI profile. The shaft gets softer the whole way across. With our new Titan EI, we actually have a very soft handle, and then the shaft gets extremely stiff below that and then comes back down. What does that do? Makes the shaft easier to load, but still stable and still have a low spin. We've also got our Synex technology. That makes the shaft feel much firmer than it actually is. So even though it's a softer handle, it's not gonna feel that way. Guys, we just launched that this week. We're already crushing it on tour. I know you're gonna like it. It'll be available for you soon. See you next time.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network. Your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.